All right. I think we're going to go and get started. Thank you all for coming. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about what this class is. I do like to do some interactive things like this on the board, so it gives you a chance to anonymously say whatever you want to say. There's no one knows who says what, so that's kind of fun, unless you put your name in there, but that's, you know. Oh, hi, Dan, go Broncos. There's always somebody. You know, usually it's Jack or some of the other knuckleheads. And so we're thankful you're all here. And I'm going to shut these doors at Tavis to do that, and then we'll pray and get started, guys. So let's give thanks. Father, we just give you praise and glory today. Thank you, God, for what you are doing in the life of our families. And Lord, help us to be who you need us to be as parents and grandparents and sometimes even some of there may be people that don't even have kids in here, Lord. I pray that you just use the what we talk about today, that you might glorify and magnify yourself and help us to be smaller, Lord, and you greater. Father, I give you thanks and praise in your name. Amen. All right. Well, this book, Age of Opportunity, this is a good book. I don't know if how many of you have this? Okay, some of you do. My wife asked me and was encouraging me or the elders to teach on this, I don't even know how long ago, and I put it off and put it off, and then I was like, maybe I'll take a look at that book, and it's really good. There's a lot of great parenting help and advice in here, and you know, what I love about a group like this is that we're all in the same boat. There is not like a great instruction manual for being a parent. But what we want to do is we want to use some biblical truth to help encourage how we parent and also let that supplement how we act in our home and interact with our kids. And so that's really what we want to do is we want to use this tool, this book as a tool. And if, for those of you who don't know, it's called An Age of Opportunity, and the author is Paul Tripp. Okay, I'll probably go not through all the chapters. I believe there's 15 chapters or so in here. So some of it I'll probably gloss over a little bit and move towards things that I think are a little bit more pertinent to us. But I do want to have an opportunity just to say that my hope for this class is that it's an interactive class, that you have the ability or willingness to share a little bit. Some of the things that we might share or talk about as parents of adolescent kids can sometimes be very joyful, and sometimes they can be sorrowful or painful, and I think we can all get that. So, but I like that we've got a community and a family here that we can talk about and even share some of those things with. That's my hope for this class, is that you won't have any inhibition or animosity to, animosity is probably not the right word, but to share what's really on your heart. We want to, number one, know how we can pray for each other. If you're really struggling, know that we want to help you. We want to pray for you. We want to lift you up before the Lord. And we also want to be encouraged by what we're doing as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So, but that's the book. If you need a copy or you don't know how to get it, talk to me. I'm sure they're available on Amazon. If you need me to order it for you and you can pay me, I'll do that. So whatever you need there, just make sure I know. Okay? I'm going to come back to this polling tool. If you want to do this, kind of take down the information. The first thing that, if you haven't done this before, but it looks like a lot of you are doing it, you text to this number, the 37607, that's the number you're texting to. In the body of the text, you have to put Jim Rally 623 inside that body of the text, and then you can say whatever you want, okay? And we'll come back to that in just a minute. All right. So we are going to be teaching through what we talked about, the age of opportunity. And man, I tell you what, I may have to strangle Gary. You know, he oversold this class and probably oversold my ability to teach this class. So, you know, I think at best, I like to think that this will be a mediocre experience for us. And then we hopefully will be a little higher than that. So, but I'm thankful. And number one, I really want you to know I'm thankful you're here. And I know that being a parent is a big deal, and it's a priority in your life. So I thank you for taking a little bit of the time out to do that. All right, so an age of opportunity, first lesson. Most of us in here have kids that are probably between the ages of 9 and 20, some of us, right? Maybe even a little older, some of us. My first question to you is, how did it go? How did that, the first 6 or 8 years of being a parent, how's that been for you? How did things go? What things went well? What things do you wish you had a mulligan or a do-over on? What areas did you really struggle? And it's okay to be vulnerable here. So I'll go first. An area that I think we were really successful on as a family was just our togetherness time. I can't really remember too many times before they were age of about 13 that we didn't eat dinner as a whole family. That was a big success. An area where I think I've faltered a little bit as a dad and just that family is as they've gotten older, it's more and more difficult to spend quality time in prayer as a family. And so that's something I'm working through. When they were really little, it was really easy. We'd read a little bit, we'd pray. It was just this great community time. And now as they're getting older and more things are on the plate, it's like, wow. You know, am I going to get Porter to bed at this time? And the big kids are up till who knows when because they outlast me. So there's some different struggles in there. Anything, what are some things that you're dealing with? Is successes or struggles? Yeah.
I think every parent struggles with this, but consistency when it comes to discipline. You know, there
are times
when you're really on it, and then other times
you're
like, oh my goodness, I really let that go.
Yeah, just being consistent in discipline. And I might even add to that, not just consistent, but I can only speak for myself, not having some of my own anger in it, you know, and just the struggle of I'm really upset in the moment and then making sure I'm parenting right there. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Anything else, either positive, negative, things you've done well, things you wish you had a do-over on? Yeah, and we're going to talk about that a lot in this class is, you know, don't miss those moments, right? Yeah, so it's, and there have been. How many of you felt like there have been great teaching opportunities, but you were really just too busy or you couldn't take the time you needed to? Maybe you were in a different situation, you know, you were in the car and it just, life happened, right? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, what were you going to say? Yeah. 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 I think this type of question is really intuitive into your own family. Not everyone's answers are going to be the same. But I'm a firm believer that if we don't ask, analyze, and plan, nothing changes, right? Think about where you sit at church. You sit in the same place every week. Why? No one told you you have to sit there. You just do it, right? Your mannerisms, the way you live your life, becomes very much a rut. So sometimes we need to have a moment like this where we get an opportunity to shake up what we're thinking and doing to provide an opportunity to really implement change, okay? So I would really encourage you, even if you maybe were a little reticent to say where you're struggling as a family or what you did well, I think that's a great conversation to have as a couple. How have we done? What do we need to improve on? And how are we going to do that, okay? And I want you to think about three things, and I'm going to pass this little piece of paper out to you, and I want you to use the back of it, okay? I want you to think about three things that you might want to do differently with your kids in the next couple of years? Just take them and pass them down. What might you want to do differently with your kid in the next couple of years? And you can change and amend these. They don't have to be, this is not a static document of any type. Oh, that's interesting. Just one more. So if you don't have a pen, you may have to just write this in a note on your phone or something like that. There we go. If you have extras, you can just leave them on the chairs next to you. But I'd really like you to think about what are two, maybe three things that you'd like to do in the next couple of years differently with your kids. If you could implement any change in your family with your kids, what would it be? And it's okay if they're big, right? What would it look like? Now, I want you to take one of those, and I want you to circle, if you numbered them 1, 2, 3, circle the one that you would like to start trying to implement change on in the next 30 days. Where are you going to start? Where are you going to start? Again, I'm a firm believer, if we don't make a plan, if we don't have an action point, nothing changes. So I want this to start to be a disruptor in your life, okay? Purposefully. Once you get those three things done, maybe circle the one you'd like to start working on, the most important one, I want you to take out your phone and open up your calculator. How many of you know when the iPad was invented? When did it first come out? Does anyone know? Close. 9. The iPad is officially 10 years old and 6 months. You wouldn't think that, would you? All right? Life happens fast, doesn't it? I can remember the first iPad coming out like it was yesterday, but if you told me it was like 10 years ago, now I got to fact check myself. Is that really true? Pretty sure it was right. I'm sorry, it's only 8 years, 6 months ago. Off by 2 years. It was 2010. But that doesn't seem like that long ago, does it? Subtract 8 years from your kid's life. How old were they? That's crazy, isn't it? That I had a 2-year-old, 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and now I don't. Okay? Take the calculator. I want you to take the number 82, and I want you to subtract your age. The 82 is the average lifespan of a human being in the United States. When you subtract your age, that's an approximate amount of time you have left. Some people get a little less. Some people get a little bit more. If you want to take it even a little bit further, multiply that times 52. That's the approximate number of weeks you have left to live. Okay? Now, I was at a conference and someone did that to me, and I thought to myself, wow, wow, wow. Okay? Because that becomes a little bit more real when you start to think about what your Saturdays mean, doesn't it? Your together time as a family starts to be a little bit more impactful when you start to see that you don't have a limitless supply of those. Let's make it a little more practical for your kids. Take, well, we're just going to use the age 20. Most kids are probably up and out, close to 20, right? If 22 makes you happy, you can use 22. And subtract the age of your oldest kid from 20. Well, you can do this however you want. For me, my oldest child is 16. I'm going to take the age of 20, and I subtract, and basically I've got 4 years. And I'm going to take that times 52. And basically I've got about 208 weekends, 208 Saturdays, 208 weeks of influence and opportunity. That's real. You get what I'm saying? So when we talk about taking opportunity with our kids, with our family, we don't have forever, right? So we're going to talk today about seizing those moments, seizing our time that matters. And it's really important that you get that you don't have forever. For my family, before Elodie goes to college, I've really got about a year and a half left of togetherness time before everything changes, right? So that's, you know, around 80 weeks. That's impactful when I think about what my role is as a parent, because I don't have another 300 or 400 weeks. I don't have it. Okay, so what am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with your weeks? That's the point of this class. You with me? All right. So what would you have done differently? And I think it's important to say, guys, water goes under the bridge and you can't put it back, right? You can't reverse the course of the stream. That doesn't happen. Some of us made huge screw-ups. You know, and I'm so thankful the kids forget a lot of stuff before they're age 5. You know, I mean, my daughter will never know that I dropped her. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. But I'm really thankful that they don't know those type of things, you know. I'm thankful that Porter, when he fell out of the shopping cart and he couldn't walk for a couple of days, he's not going to remember that. But we do. And, you know, a few things we would have done differently there. But, you know, he's a slippery little sucker. He just fell right out. All right. Adolescence. I asked you to talk about or inform us of what do you think about or when you hear the word adolescence. I like these answers. Be slow to anger, Lord help us. Puberty, girlfriends, driving, patience. Yeah, that they might know him. A lot of times, the word attitude is associated with adolescence, or maybe that back talk, sassiness, right? Any of those ring a bell for any of you? Someone's kids are going through adolescence. They're going to be driving soon. Ah, oh, it's crazy, right? The idea of finding yourself is a big topic during adolescence of, you know, this is what we should expect. Bigger kids, bigger issues. And having a big God, absolutely. A lot of emotions. Sometimes we think of adolescence as being painful. Waywardness, rebellion, the need for patience. How many of you, when you look back at your own adolescence growing up, was that a good time or a rough time? Good time? Who's got good time? Mine was a pretty good time. I was pretty easy. How many of you had really struggled? really struggled. Yeah. As we talk about your own kids, how many of them do you recognize are having some struggles? I do. We've got struggles. And there's struggles that I would have never thought would have been part of my kids' world. I mean, to the outside, to people looking at my kids, they're pretty well adjusted. They seem happy. They've, you know, likable, pretty decent looking kids, right? And things like that. And so, but some of the things that grip their hearts and the way they feel and the emotions are pretty raw sometimes. You guys getting some of those? If you're not, you will. So just know they're coming. And what do we do with them? As a parent, it can break your heart. And so we have to start being ready for some of those things. I thought this was interesting, though, that this is just a picture I pulled up on the web. And it's kind of a word map. And I typed in the word adolescence, and this picture popped up. That's interesting. Some of the different words that are inside here. So what have we heard? What have we heard about with adolescents? What have we heard? What do we typically associate with adolescents and kids? A lot of changes, right? A lot of changes. What else? What is it?
Rebellion.
You can't fight it because they're just going to be how kids are, right? Everybody goes through this. What else, Dan?
They'll grow out of it.
Yeah, they're going to grow out of this. This is just a phase. What else? What else have you heard, Brian?
Trying to find their individuality.
Yeah, trying to find who they are. Yep. Yep. And some of those things are very true, right? And I think if we objectively look at life, and there is some finding your way as an adolescent, figuring out who you are a little bit, recognizing that you're not always going to be in the house of mom and dad and you're your own person. Some of that's very true. Are there anything that keep you up at night? What kind of stuff keeps you up at night when you talk about your kids? What do you worry about? Yeah?
The cultural confusions and the things that they have to accept, reject, or just become complacent, like religious doctrine.
Yeah.
What do they do with all of that? Because I've gotten all those questions.
Yeah. Yeah, the world they have to live and grow up in is very different than the world you and I grew up in, right? And the older you are, the more true that rings, okay? I would have never thought that I would have had to discuss with my 10-year-old what a transgendered person is, and or why you may see certain things at school through whether it's homosexuality, the why is this girl using the boys' bathroom? Things like that, right? Things like that we have to talk to them about are very different today, okay? Helping them find their way through all that. I think objectively we could say the world is a scary place right now. I think there's some fear of those type of things. I think we can say that no matter what political side you're on. It's a little bit of a different world today. Those things, they worry me a little bit. You know, what type of a world are they going to live in? Also recognizing that the world we have now is not really the greatest world that's ever been. This has been a struggle throughout time, right?